Cause I will stand by. I will help you through when you've done all you can do and you can't go.
Sanford, Rose Hill, WAAO-FM, 93.7, Andalusia,
a 3-dot communication station,
USA, New Hit Country, 93.7.
I woke up one day and saw her plastered all over the news saying that she was murdered, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is my daughter, all over again.
The mother of a Brazos Valley soldier says the murder of Vanessa Guillen has opened back up the wounds of her own daughter's brutal death nearly 20 years ago. And just like Vanessa's case, the family of Amanda Gonzalez says they have struggled to get answers from the military. News 3's Rusty Surrett has been researching this case. And Rusty, Amanda's family is hoping renewed interest in their daughter's case will help find her killer.
Yeah, Carla, it has been 18 years since Amanda Gonzalez was murdered on an Army base. And to this day, nobody has been arrested nor charged in the case. They don't even have a motive for why she was killed. But now her family is joining other families who are pushing for a change in the United States military. It's here in this quiet cemetery in Hearn where Amanda Gonzalez is laid to rest. In November 2001, the 19-year-old soldier was stationed at a now-shuttered base in Germany. She was there for less than a year before she was found beaten and strangled inside the barracks.
We need justice. Y'all need justice. We need closure.
This is Amanda's cousin, her mom Gloria, and her stepfather. For nearly 20 years, they've looked for closure but have only ended up with more questions than answers from the military. And no one has been held accountable for the murder.
Things are happening in the military, and the color silence is covering everything up and not allowing, telling us parents anything because they're keeping to themselves.
Amanda was born in Hearn, raised in Madisonville. She was determined to serve her country and was murdered while doing it. After countless dead ends, there was little hope for any new developments, but then this happened.
I want Fort Army base to be shut down!
Calls for justice and accountability following the murder of Vanessa Guillen, another young soldier also murdered on a military base.
That's our daughter. She almost looks like Amanda. Same age. Got killed on the barracks. And I said, it's just so coincidence. Her car was still there. They said she went AWOL. Same thing with my daughter, that she had gone AWOL.
The family's now using social media to once again put the spotlight on Amanda's cold case. Her cousin says her inbox has been filled with new information and more people who are willing to share their story now. She's also troubled to hear that some of them were told by the military that the case was closed.
And I was like, that is news to me, because as of right now in 2020, this case has not been solved. This is still an ongoing case.
The family says they are in touch with Army investigators about any new information that they've been getting over social media. We did reach out to the Army for a comment and status update on this case. And as soon as we hear back from them, we'll update you on this story. By the way, Carla, Amanda would have been about 40 years old today. When she was killed, she was 5 months pregnant. Oh,
that is devastating. Rusty, thank you so much.
From South Alabama's information station, this is Developing News from WAAO.
Good Wednesday morning, May the 8th, now 6 minutes after the top of the hour of 9 o'clock, and we want to welcome in to the WAAO studios in downtown Andalusia, Alabama, and we're going to go to the phone line this morning down to Pensacola, Florida, where the parents of Amanda Gonzalez are awaiting their chariot that's going to fly them from Pensacola, Florida, back to the tiny community of Wylie, Texas, a little suburb of Dallas, Texas. After learning on Monday night that a federal jury in Pensacola, Florida, has decided that there was enough evidence to convict an Andalusia man, Shannon Wilkerson, a former U.S. Army member serving in the U.S. Army at the same military base in Germany as their daughter, Amanda, who was 19 years old and murdered November of 2001, found dead in her barracks after not reporting to work. We want to welcome in the parents of Amanda Gonzalez. My telephone this morning, Michael and Gloria Bates. Michael and Gloria Bates, good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Bates.
Good morning, Blaine. How are you doing today?
Michael,
good
morning. I want to, Miss Gloria, good morning to you. Michael, good morning to you. Thank you so very much for taking the time this morning as you await your flight home to Texas to join the audience in the airwaves of South Alabama and in parts of the panhandle of Florida this morning. What an incredible case. And I've just got to ask you this morning, what are your thoughts as you are about to board this flight back to Texas now that you have this verdict?
We're just relieved, and we're finally, after 22 and a half years, getting some closure.
I feel we did our job. We did finish our...
Justice has been served.
Yeah. We finished what we started, and we're very pleased. And she can rest in peace now, her and her baby.
Powerful words this morning from parents losing a child and going through the painstaking process of wondering, waiting, being put off. I just got to ask you, what has been the motivating factor and what has gotten you through these years that brought you to this trial? And, you know, what are the things that continue to give you the strength to endure this pain?
A lot of prayer, a lot of support from family. We've had unbelievable support from our family, our employers, and both Gordon's employer and our coworkers.
But mostly from her friends, her soldiers, her fellow soldiers.
Yeah, we have a lot of support from people she served with at the base in Hanau. They have reached out to us over the years, basically, you know,
keeping in touch.
And they wanted justice for her also.
I want to ask y'all, when you were sitting in the courtroom and listening to this evidence unfold, what type of thoughts were going through your head about your little girl?
She was smiling. She was there. She was saying, you know, just smiling and saying, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it.
The evidence spoke loudly.
Yes.
Words for her.
For her. She spoke through evidence.
Yeah, the evidence in the case.
Guys, you know, as you can imagine, any time you have a case like this that has so much distance in between the crime and the conviction, you've got all of this speculation, you have all types of changes in leadership in the military, from investigators that change. How did you keep that wheel, that greasy wheel, getting attention over the years to bring this thing to a trial?
Well, we put a lot of
faith.
Faith is a lot of it.
Faith.
We reached out to we've been in constant contact with our congressman where we live in Texas. And also our U.S. senators.
Tell me their names, if you don't mind, who those are.
Our congressman is, I'm not sure now. He actually passed away, so I don't know who it is now.
So it changed, changed on you, right? It changed.
Yeah. But our senators are Ted Cruz and John Cornyn.
And what type of support have they been able to offer you throughout this process?
Mainly, when this first started, again, this has been 22 and a half years ago, there was a considerable period of time, several months, where we didn't get any kind of information from Army CID. Basically nothing. There were no emails, phone calls, anything. So, again, us being here in the state and this happening overseas in Germany, we weren't getting any information out of Army CID at all. So we decided to contact our congressman and our two U.S. senators, and they definitely got the Army to respond to us. From what we were told, the Army, the military does not like politicians asking a lot of questions, I guess, for lack of a better term. So,
I want to ask y'all to tell me just a moment, if you could describe your daughter, Amanda, tell me what type of young lady she was. Tell us about who she was. For those of us that have no clue other than what we can see her photographs, we can watch news clips, we can read court case files, we can watch, ID channels, and we can listen to podcasts about this intriguing case. But tell us, from parents' perspective, who your daughter really was.
She was very independent, very strong-willed. She cared.
She was a big mother hen.
Yeah.
Her siblings.
Yeah. She was a very protective of her younger sister and younger brother.
And she had lots of friends. Everywhere where she went, she made a friend. She never met an enemy anywhere.
And she loved children,
She loved children and babies. And she, actually, when we got her belongings back, we got her books back, where she was taking physical therapy for children. She was studying.
That was what she was going to do with her education. Her military bill. Go to college.
Tell me, though, she obviously was a patriot, serving this country as a soldier. What was her job in the military?
She was a cook, worked in food service.
And tell me about her time as a child or in high school. What type of things did she enjoy? What were her motivators?
She was a student council, high grades, and loved school. She looked forward to going to school. She never missed school. It was in the day she didn't call out sick or not sick, she'd go to school.
And she also was a member in high school of the future, FHA, future homemakers. Yeah.
Right.
Besides being on student council.
So at what point did she decide to join the military? What was that motivator?
Well, for one thing, her grandfather served in World War II. He was in the Army Air Corps, 8th Air Force in England. And one of her uncles served in the Army in Vietnam. He's a Vietnam veteran. And she had several other family members who had served in the military. So it was in her DNA.
It was traditional.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: when your daughter joined the U.S. Army, and you watch her go through those basic training and AIT, and then get her assignment, and you learn that she'll go to Germany, did it ever cross your mind that your daughter would not come back alive at the hands of another soldier?
Never. They're supposed to be brothers and sisters in arms. They're supposed to take care of each other. When we first learned the news, it was just, it's beyond comprehension. It was a parent's worst nightmare.
We knew she could take care of herself.
Yes,
and
she's very independent.
Independent, take care of herself. She knew the do's and don'ts, and this was her first time being away from home, and she was all excited. She was going to Europe. She did not get enlistment pay for it. She said she wanted to go, even if they didn't pay her.
Yeah, she did the late entry in high school. She enlisted. She graduated in 2000, and she that previous fall in 1999 when she did the late entry enlistment. So
I want y'all to take me to the morning or the day that you were notified that your daughter had been murdered. Take me to that moment and tell me how you found out, and exactly, just take me to that morning, if you will.
Well, it's just, it seemed like it happened just yesterday. It's, it's been 22 and a half years ago. I was at work. Gloria was at work. We moved to the Dallas area for me for job change back in first part of 2001. From where Amanda was raised, town where Amanda was raised, and I had a guy that we had a home in our hometown of Madisonville. Madisonville, Texas is where Amanda was raised, and we still had a home there at that time. And I had a ex coworker of mine who was actually leasing our home, and he called me that this was on Monday, November 5th, 2001. I remember getting a phone call. He called me that afternoon. He told me, he said, "Mike," he said, "look, I don't want to alarm you or Gloria, but he said there were two U.S. Army soldiers came by here by your house looking for you and Gloria. I didn't give you your contact information because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't want to give you your contact information without talking to you, both of y'all or talking to you first." So I told him, I said, "That's fine." I said, "Just if they come back," he said, "They did leave." He said, "If they come back, go ahead and give them my cell phone number and have them call me." So we were both. I went home from work, and Gloria was already off from work that afternoon. So I went home, waited around the house, probably our apartment. We had an apartment that time. Waited around our apartment for about 3 or 4 hours, and I even didn't hear anything. So after being home probably for 3 or 4 hours, I decided to go ahead and contact the U.S. Red Cross because they do notification for next of kin for any kind of military members. They can get it, they can maybe get a message to her, get a message to the base, and we're trying to find out what's going on. And so I contacted the U.S. Red Cross office in Dallas and gave them her name, her unit information, where she's stationed, and I told them what the circumstances were, and that they said they would try to, locate her to find out, why the Army's trying to get in touch with us. So anyway, after that, I went back to work. I got off work about 9 p.m. that evening, and about 10:30 that night, we were living in an apartment in another suburb of Dallas. And I don't know how they found us, but about 10:30 that night, we got a knock at our front door, and we opened it up, and it was two U.S. Army soldiers in dress uniform, and told us to, ask us, we were men of dissolved experience. Of course, we said yes, and had them come in, and they said, "Unfortunately, on behalf of the President of the United States, we regret to inform you that it's the death of your daughter." And we're just like it's like a punch in the gut. Initial shock. Then we're like, what are you talking about? And that's really about all they could tell us. They were military. They're very, 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 very protective of their, any kind of information. And that's really about all they told us. And, they told us that they, anytime there's a U.S. service member that's killed, whether it's on, killed in action or on active duty, the military will assign what's called a casualty assistance officer. And that person's responsibility is basically to stick with the family of the deceased service member to handle any kind of the service member's personal affairs, like back pay, insurance benefits, and to make arrangements to get the deceased service member's remains back home to the family. And so we were assigned a casualty casualty assistance officer the next day. And he came and we met with him. And basically, again, trying to find out what happened to her, you know, because she was scheduled. She was scheduled to come home on her 30-day leave first of December. we'd already got her a plane ticket. She was going to spend Christmas and New Year's with us and her dad's side of the family. And of course, that never happened. And but we finally heard from Army CID maybe probably a couple days after that. That's when we kind of found out that circumstances of her death.
We ended up going over there for Thanksgiving because, like I told Mike, before she gets here, she was supposed to come to us. We're going to her. So we ended up going for Thanksgiving that Thanksgiving week to spend Thanksgiving over there because I wanted to see her room. I wanted to see the location, her car. I couldn't believe it. I told Mike, I said, I want to actually be able to see this for myself to believe it because I still couldn't believe it. They did take us on a tour where they showed us the outside of the room.
Yeah, they showed us her barracks and the outside of her room. Of course, her room was sealed off from the crime scene. It's a crime scene, so of course, you know, we didn't go in. We didn't want to go in.
Yeah.
But her
car was roped off, and we got to meet some of the soldiers. They had taken some of the soldiers off the base if they were suspects while we were there. We got to meet General Sanchez.
General Rick Sanchez was there. She was in the 2nd Armored Division.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 1st Armored Division in the Aviation Support Unit. And her division, division commander was General Rick Sanchez, who ended up later being the U.S. Army commander in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was captured. So we met with him, his wife. They're both from Texas also. And so we had a lot of time with them, and they were very nice.
There was nothing they could tell us. I just wanted myself to see where she was, how she lived, and just to be a part of her at that time.
Yes,
ma'am. We met with Army CID while we were over there. Of course, they were very, you know, general in their information they'd released. And I told them, I'm a retired police officer, and I told them, I said, look, I'm going to ask some questions that I'm pretty sure I'm going to get an answer to, but they knew I had a law enforcement background, and I told them, I said, I'm pretty sure I know the answers I'm going to get, the questions I'm going to ask, but I'm asking you, this is going to be asking you as a parent and not as an ex-law enforcement officer. And they certainly understood that. Of course, they wouldn't.
Of course, we didn't get anything.
Yeah, we really didn't get any information other than her death had been ruled as a homicide. But we didn't know how. We didn't know how she was killed or anything like that at that time.
Let me just ask you, at what point did you discover who might be responsible for her death?
Usually it was her soldiers.
Yeah.
It was her soldiers and CID.
Yeah, several of the soldiers she served with on base there had reached out to us on, like, Facebook, on social media. And his name, we kept hearing his name, I guess, I don't know what you call him, a suspect, but person of interest. In her homicide, and but his name was pretty much on the radar the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
kept popping up. So I made a promise to myself, and I'm just going to Google this guy. I got to find out who this guy is, what he is, and where. I mean, I searched and looked and dug, and I found out things for myself that I wasn't told, and I would turn it into CID. Finally, I was like, y'all need to get rid of this. We were rotating CID officers every 6 months, and every new one would come up and start all over again. I'm like, I can't do this again. I need this taken out of Germany. She's not there. Soldiers aren't there. We need to bring it to the States.
Yes, and they closed down her base, I think, in 2007.
Yeah.
And Army CID, the agents, they were getting rotated out about every 6 months. Most of the time they were getting rotated sent to the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kosovo.
Yeah.
So we never really had an agent on the Army CID that was specifically, that's his job.
Assigned
to her case.
So I got it. I fought and fought and fought for her. Just finally, they listened to me, and I said, yeah, I'm bringing it to the U.S., bringing it to the U.S. Finally, they agreed to let go of the case because they didn't want nobody involved in the case, in her case, because it was their case. And I'm like, no, she's not there anymore. Nobody's there, you know. So they gave it to the FBI in Florida. I mean, New York. And Frank was the one that took over the case, and he's been with us since, and he took care of it. He took care of it. He says, I promise we'll take care of this for you.
And you say his name is Frank?
His last name is his name is Frank Donato. I think it's spelled D-O-N-A-T-O.
So Frank Donato from the FBI is who you really hung your hat upon out of New York.
Yes, he's been awful. He told us he pretty much made his mission and his the focus was trying to bring the killer to justice.
And they did.
So.
And he was pretty good. Every time I'd find something on this guy, and I'd send it to him, and he'd look it up, or he'd send me something. He was very knowledgeable and very, very supportive. And it wasn't that we were pointing the finger at him because of hearsay. We were pointing the finger at him because everything was coming back to him.
Let me just ask y'all, at what point did you find out that there would be an arrest or that there had been an arrest?
Well, he was arrested February last year. We were home, luckily, and I get a phone call, and it's the assistant U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Florida here in Pensacola. He just said that Ms. Bates, he said he identified who he was and who he was with. He said, we want to inform you that Shannon Wilkerson was arrested today and charged with the death of Amanda. And Gloria and I looked at each other like, did we just hear that? Yeah. And after 22 and a half years, our first reaction like that, we looked at each other like, did we just hear that? And we just both of us, and our other daughter was around also at the time, and she was there when they were talking to us on the phone, and just a release of emotion, like finally.
It was like somebody had taken a weight off our backs and said, here, quit carrying that weight now, stand up straight, it's over,
yeah.
But it wasn't over yet. We had opened that Pandora box. We were fixing to walk into something we didn't know. We were just, waiting to see what else was going to be thrown at us.
In your talks with prosecutors leading up to this trial, how confident were prosecutors that a conviction was imminent?
We felt and they felt that they had a very strong case against Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm.
With the evidence they had, and he got indicted. They presented the case last February to a grand jury, federal grand jury, and they indicted him for her murder. And they felt they had a very strong case evidentiary wise against him. They interviewed hundreds of people, from what we understand. People who served with on the base. Of course, it's 22 years later. A lot of these soldiers have been discharged out of the Army. I mean, they're spread out all over the country. But they, in no time, they said they told us that anybody is associated as a possible person of interest or witness, most of which were soldiers on the base she served with. Again, they were all out of the Army. They'd already been discharged. But they did know how to get in touch with them in case they need to contact them to, do like a follow-up interview or anything like that. So they everybody involved as far as a witness and or possible suspect, they knew how to locate them. So I'm basically it. So.
Michael, just in the last few days, you thanked a gentleman from Texas, a news anchor, a news reporter by the name of Rusty Surrett from a television station KBTX, thanking him for standing by your family and continuing to report on to ensure that the case got the kind of exposure to keep the military working towards a conclusion on this case. Talk about his involvement and your relationship with that gentleman, Rusty Surrett.
Well, he is he's from the local TV station, which is serves the area where we lived at the time, our hometown. And one of Gloria's cousins, Amanda's cousins, reached out to him and he talked to him and told him about Amanda's case. And again, the similarities between her case and
Vanessa Guillen
was very, I mean, it was just too much of a coincidence. Similarities were amazing.
Vanessa Guillen was a Fort Hood soldier who was murdered, and it was a very similar situation. And you saw the pain in that mother's eyes and heard her cries for help, and you said that it just brought that same emotion just roaring back to you, giving you renewed strength to continue the fight.
Yes, yes. And Rusty works for Brazos Valley TV station, and he went to school with my cousin, graduated college with her. So she knew that he was working for him for Channel 3. So she reached out to him and he's like, yeah, I'll take it. I'm going to search it, and we'll keep by your side, y'all family to us. So that's why we try to keep it with Bryan College Station, because it covers Madisonville and Hearn and just the surrounding areas in Brazos Valley.
And that's where our families are from.
Yes.
Those are down.
Take me through that trial, if you can, and the emotions that you felt throughout the last week. It started on Monday a week ago in Pensacola, Florida, and it comes to I'm going to call it a dramatic conclusion Monday night when you post on social media that you finally have justice for your daughter. Walk me through last week.
It's been a roller coaster. Listening to the testimony from soldiers that she served with or served with there on the base, prosecutors, his defense team, counsel, the jury. We thank the jury for what they did. They heard all the evidence. They saw all the evidence that was presented to them, and they came to the correct conclusion and voted unanimously to convict him of second-degree murder.
The best, I wasn't able to sit in it because I couldn't take it to sit in it, to listen to it or see her pictures or anything. So Mike did. He sat in it and listened to it. And I told him if I ever want to hear the story of what happened, I know I could trust him to tell me about it. I did go in finally when they were going to read, the jury was going to come back and they were going to do their argument closing. They allowed me to go back to go in there, which I did want to go in there. And that's where I got most of all the piece of information from both sides on what had happened and putting it all together, the possibility of this is what really happened to her. And then when the jury came back and gave them the paper saying guilty, first degree, second degree, manslaughter, and it took them 5 hours to come up with a decision. It was hard for us to sit there and just sit and wait and wait and nothing until we finally got the call saying that they had a verdict on it. So went in, and my big justice was seeing just
he showed no emotion. He didn't smile. He didn't look at me. He did nothing. He looked down and got everything taken off. The two marshals told him, go ahead and get everything out of his pockets, and he did. And he just didn't have no expression on his face, kept looking down, and they cuffed him and took him away. And I knew then I'd done my job. I did what I was left to do on this earth, even though most of her family's all deceased. And I just kept telling her at graveside, I'm not giving up on her.
Yeah, he showed no emotion whatsoever when the verdict was read. Mm-hmm. Found guilty. Basically, he's like an empty vessel.
Uh-huh.
You know, he has no emotion. You know? And especially during the testimony, he just showed no emotion. But it was the most gratifying thing that Gloria and I had ever seen
mm-hmm.
was seeing him after being the verdict was given. That two U.S. Marshals placed him in handcuffs and took him to jail, where he's going to be staying until his sentencing hearing.
Now, that sentencing hearing is scheduled for August, and yesterday you were able to have lunch with Victim Services and prosecution. Did you learn kind of what will happen between now and August and what you need to be preparing for between now and then? And I don't want to give away anything that would change the outcome of that, but are y'all now kind of preparing for that next phase?
Yes, his sentencing hearing is tentatively scheduled, we believe, for August the 8th, which we will be returning to Pensacola to attend. We will be able to give victim impact statements. Our other daughter and our son, I know our other daughter is for sure, is going to come back with us because she wants to give one. And we haven't talked to our son yet. We're going to talk to him when we get home to see if he wants to do it. Do one also because him and Amanda were real close. Amanda raised him when he was pretty much raised him when he was like he was a toddler before preschool. Gloria and I both had to work quite a bit in the evening, so we weren't home. And Amanda was in high school, so she pretty much raised her sister and brother. So,
but we're just looking forward to it because now I know I've lit the dynamite. To me, I feel like I've lit it. I'm waiting for it to explode, and when it explodes, it's over with and it's gone. It'll be gone.
We're hoping that he gets the maximum sentence.
Yes.
Allowable under the law.
Must be light again.
And tell us what are those possibilities for his sentencing guidelines?
From what we were told by the prosecution, on a second degree murder conviction under the U.S. I guess the federal murder statutes, he could get the maximum a life sentence with no parole.
Now, there are people, as you can imagine, in the Andalusia, Covington County area that are very close to this man, to his family. And as you can imagine, they have their own opinions of him. They know that man from different aspects of his life. And many of those would say there's just no way possible that he could ever do anything like this. What do you say to those people? Those same, what I'm going to call, some of them are Facebook warriors who have suggested starting a Facebook page to help fund a new set of attorneys for him and things of that nature. The people that didn't sit through the trial and listen to that evidence, Michael, tell us what the difference in sitting in the trial and listening to the testimony and listening to the prosecution and listening to the defense and listening to the evidence, how much different that is than a Facebook forum and a chat of someone's opinions of what a person is or not capable of doing.
That's all that I can say about that is DNA evidence does not lie.
No, and it doesn't. And from where they're saying, of course, it was just a lousy shirt that convicted him. That's all they're going by. Well, you know, his past reports of violence, you know, past with his family and all that. We've heard from soldiers and how he was on base and everything. I just say Ted Bundy looked like an innocent man. I would have walked up to him and helped him. He did a good
a charmer.
Charmer. He did look like what every killer would look like. Innocent.
He is what I call a, for lack of a better term, a chameleon.
Yeah.
He can change his, you know, his colors, his his personality, and basically, everybody he wants to believe that he's, this good person.
But like the soldier said, all his soldiers, fellow soldiers, were like he found Jesus after.
Yeah, he got very religious after this happened.
After this happened.
He never had done that before.
And he was never religious. Never caring, never nothing. And all of a sudden he found Jesus, and he put Jesus in his heart after that.
It's, our thinking on that, him doing that is, he's trying to make up for what he did, but it does not change.
Mm-hmm.
It does not change what he did.
What direction?
I understand about, being religious. We understand that. We're somewhat religious, I guess.
We're Catholic.
We're Catholic. Amanda was raised in the Catholic Church. And, but again, you can accept Jesus, get religious, but mm-hmm. you can't change. That does change what you did before.
Let me also.
He will have to answer that.
His time will come.
He'll have to answer that to the person upstairs.
Michael, you've got a career in law enforcement. I know you've done your own digging, you've asked the right questions. You've used, I'm sure, sources in law enforcement to help you get to the bottom of this. Along the way, what are the types of things that you've learned about this man convicted now of killing your daughter?
Just doing a digging. You could do a lot of research. He did have a violent past with other people. He, from what we understand and learned, when this happened, he was married to another soldier there on the base who happened to be Amanda's next door neighbor. At that time, they didn't have married couple housing. So his wife lived in barracks next to Amanda, and he lived in different barracks, fairly close. But it's just learning about the evidence. Again, DNA does not lie. DNA technology has evolved over so many years. It's really evolved over the last, say, 20 years. And thank God. All we can say is thank God that it was still there.
Sure.
There was DNA, his DNA and her DNA together, and you can't explain that away.
The location on the arm, the right arm where you used to strangle her, her DNA was right there at your armband and nowhere else on the shirt.
Yeah, the DNA on the shirt you were wearing was basically from your right wrist all the way up to the sole where your elbow is. That was the only place, that was found on the shirt that he had. And his DNA, her DNA, and the soldier.
No, it was the only place the DNA was found. The
soldier that he borrowed the shirt from. So.
And that gentleman, you say the soldier that the shirt was borrowed from, was that soldier cleared by investigators?
Yes, he was.
And you have no reason to believe that soldier had involvement in her death at all?
No. He was cleared. He was a witness. He was a witness for the prosecution during the trial. And they cleared him as a suspect or person of interest. Evidently, fairly quickly, whenever they were able to do the DNA analysis on what it was, the sweatshirt that Wilkerson had borrowed from the other soldier because due to it being cold. November in Germany, it was cold, and he basically, from what we understand, he at that time he was walking around in like a t-shirt, possibly shorts. So he borrowed the sweatshirt from another soldier because it was cold. And we just said thank God that the other soldier still had that shirt and turned it over to the FBI and investigators, and they were able to get DNA match with Amanda's DNA and Wilkerson's DNA on that shirt. And we just thank God that DNA has evolved so much over the years. It's it doesn't lie.
I want to ask y'all, at the time of Amanda's death, it is reported that she was somewhere around 4 to 5 months pregnant. That child also perished as a result of this heinous crime. It was described in this press release that was issued by the Department of Justice yesterday. It was described as a defendant that violently beat and murdered Amanda Gonzalez, a fellow soldier who was pregnant at the time. And I just want to ask you today, Miss Gloria, you've missed the opportunity at being a grandmother to that child. And I just want to know your thoughts on that and how you've been able to cope with that. And Michael, you as well.
Well, it hurts. Oh, our anniversary is on March 26th. We've been Mike and I have been married 38 years. And every time our anniversary comes up, we will always celebrate not our anniversary, but Alicia's birthday, because that's when she would have been born, on our anniversary. And to lose my only grandchild, and I don't have grandchildren, just to think what she would be like at this time, knowing that Wilkerson went through the stages of seeing his baby grow up, go to college, and all that, that I didn't get to see my daughter nor my grandchild do any of that. For him to just live in life.
Yeah, he committed, in our minds, he committed two murders. Amanda's and her grandchild.
And as we sit here today, you have no doubt in your mind that they got the right man.
No doubt. There's no doubt in our mind. Again, DNA evidence is not lying.
Evidence and everything he did that night, like trying to get soldiers to give him an alibi about where he was at. He was with them. And, I mean, why all of a sudden you want somebody to give you an alibi at 2, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, he's telling the soldier to give him an alibi, saying he was with him. The soldier barely even knew him, you know. He said, I maybe talked to him maybe once or twice. And, you know, he's asking me to do this for him. He said, I thought that was very strange.
Plus, it was his wife's birthday. Why wasn't he with her?
Yeah, also his wife's birthday also. Yes, that's correct.
Now, your message moving forward, there are parents out there, not necessarily in the military world, but just in everyday life, who have lost children, who are still seeking justice many years later. I say that because right here at home, right here in our area, we have a pending cold case murder that a mother right now is begging, absolutely begging, for someone with information to come forward and tell the truth, to bring justice. That young lady's name is Kimberly Raymer. Kimberly Raymer, missing from Op, Alabama since the 1990s. A cold case that continues to captivate the people of this community and surrounding areas. Now, I just want to ask you today, as you move forward, Ms. Gloria and Michael. Michael, you've got law enforcement experience of many years behind you. Ms. Gloria, you can be advocates for other family members. Kind of tell me, do you have that maybe in your toolbox now? Do you want to look to help other families and mothers cope with these types of events?
Definitely. Definitely. The time when I was going through with this with Amanda, I was doing podcasts from the house with different parents that were calling in on murders. And I was doing also advising, and Deanna's mother was there with me, keeping me going, you know, because she was the one standing behind me telling me, keep going, don't give up. And I just said to the parents, just keep fighting, keep her voice going, don't give up. Put her voice out there. Do everything you can. Write to congressmen, write anybody. I mean, and let them know, hey, this is going on. I haven't heard. And once they start getting involved in all this and opening their eyes, and people start realizing, hey, this still open. We didn't know, you know, just keep her name alive. Keep pressing. Don't let her name fade out, because once you do, people forget. And I would love to speak with her and give her advice on what to do as a mother on that. Just don't give up.
Don't give up. That's the words right there. Don't give up. Never
don't.
Give up.
Mm-mm. No matter what they tell you, don't give up. You're her voice.
There were times as this thing, year to year, progressively started getting older, you know, considered to be a cold case. There were times where we wanted to give up, but we just told ourselves, no, we can't. You know,
we can't. We're her voice, and that's what she has to be. She has to be her daughter's voice. And not give up and put her name out there. Keep it going.
Michael and Gloria Bates, the parents of Amanda Gonzalez, private first class, 19 years of age, murdered November 2001 at a military base in Germany. They are live on the phone from Pensacola, Florida, after finding out on Monday night that the killer has now faced justice. Shannon Wilkerson of Andalusia found guilty of the murder of 19-year-old U.S. Army soldier Amanda Gonzalez at a military base in Germany, November 2001. Shannon Wilkerson of Andalusia, Alabama. And I just want to thank y'all so very much for joining us on the phone line this morning as y'all are getting ready to board a plane in Pensacola back to Texas. We wish you safe travels. And we certainly look forward to seeing all the good that you do in your community and around this nation to help other people deal with this type of pain.
Yes.
We want to thank y'all for playing. We appreciate it. We just want everybody to know what who Amanda was and who Shannon Wilkerson is. Again, you know, we believe he has a lot of people fooled. Again, for lack of a better term, I call him a chameleon. But that's, you know, we're just finally believe that the justice has been served, and hopefully he will be sentenced from all the VA. We will get the maximum penalty, prison sentence allowed under the law.
Michael and Gloria, we ask you, if you will, to stay in touch with us between now and August, and hopefully we look forward to talking to you in August to find out what that punishment is and gets handed down from that Pensacola courthouse, the federal courthouse. And in the meantime, we wish you safe travels. We say God bless you. And we end today with a quote from Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Michael, he said, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream." Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., paraphrasing the Bible, the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 24. I give you the microphone to end this interview today. Anything you'd like to say to these people before you depart? And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us and listening to us. And God bless each and every one of y'all. God bless y'all. Stay safe.
We want to thank everyone for their support and love during this time. We wouldn't have made it through this whole process without it.
Safe travels. Michael and Gloria Bates, the parents of Amanda Gonzalez, private first class. Y'all say her name with me. Say it with me. Say her name. Say her name.
Private first class.
Amanda Gonzalez.
Amanda Gonzalez.
U.S. Army soldier.
U.S.
God bless the United States of America.
Definitely.
And God bless Michael and Gloria Bates and the family of private first class Amanda Gonzalez. Say her name, public. Say her name.
Late Monday evening, May the 6th, 2024, at a federal courthouse in Pensacola, Florida, a jury found Shannon Wilkerson of Andalusia, Alabama, guilty of murder of Amanda Gonzalez, 19-year-old U.S. Army soldier stationed at a former Army base in Germany, November of 2001. Wilkerson was charged with murder of the pregnant 19-year-old soldier, arrested in February of 2023 and charged with that first-degree murder charge. He is now in custody in a detention facility and will face a sentencing date of August the 8th of 2024 by a federal judge in Pensacola. God bless the broken road.
I love you, though you think you already know. I remember I thought you looked like an angel wrapped in pink, so soft and warm. You've had me wrapped around your finger since the day you were born. You beautiful baby bird.
lead you home again. Go on, take on this old world, but to me you know you'll always be. Little smile that milled my heart of stone. Now look at you, I've turned around and you've almost grown. Sometimes you're asleep, I whisper I love you in the moonlight at your door. As I walk away, I hear you say, Daddy, love you more. Beautiful baby from the outside in. Chase your dreams, but always know the road that'll lead you home again. Come on, take on this whole world, but to me you know you'll always be my little girl. Someday some boy will ask me for your hand, but I won't say yes to him unless I know he's the half that makes you whole. He has a poor soul and the heart of a man's man. I know he'll say that he's in love, but between you and me, he won't be good enough. Baby from the outside in, chase your dreams, but always know the road that'll lead you home again. Go on, take on this old world, but to me, you know you'll always be my little girl.
Say her name. Amanda Gonzalez, Private First Class, U.S. Army.
McKenzie, Red Level, Holler, WAAO-FM, 93.7, Andalusia.
A 3-dot communication station.
New Hit Country, 93.7.